people of Earth, we heard you. Zetu and I are talking to each other on the internet. Zetu Potter, welcome to The Issue with Dan Corder. This is weird. We are very good friends. My girlfriend is somewhere else. We'd both rather be hanging out with her, but we're going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's The Issue with Dan and Zetu. Da-da-da-da.
That's a jingle I can get behind. It's up there with like Mzansi for sure. It's like that level of quality.
Yeah, it's got iconic qualities in there.
Totally. So we're actually speaking at a TikTok event about election integrity and tech platforms and people like us who talk about the news and trying to make sure the truth gets out there and fighting against misinformation and disinformation and bigotry. But I'm so excited because I finally get to ask you the question that everyone's always wanted to know, which is how you shot to fame back in, was it 2020 or 2021? I've heard the story
2021.
Before. So we're going to get the bonus official story of how Zetu became unable to walk on the streets without getting harangued because of how much your work has come to mean to so many people.
So funny enough, I owe my entire TikTok career to Dr. Zweli Mkhize and digital vibes and the extreme levels of swindling that happened with the COVID funds.
And Aware Consulting. We must never neglect Aware
Never,
Consulting.
Ever. The names of those companies. That was my first viral video ever.
I see.
And funny enough, how I started making content, honestly, I'd just given birth. I'd lurked on TikTok for a long time without speaking, and I'd just given birth. I'm home alone with the baby, my partner works from home, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I'm in the other room, but I'm alone with the baby.
You were on duties.
Exactly. I was on baby duties, so was he. And I read this shocking story that blew me out the water, and this baby was just not wanting to sleep. I strapped her on my back, thinking that she wouldn't be visible in the video.
Yeah.
And I started to just go off about... Truly, it's unbelievable the corruption in the country, first of all, but the fact that you would call a company Digital Vibes.
I know, it's almost disrespectful.
Oh, it's like it insulted our intelligence to levels far beyond.
Call it like the African Global Development Inquest Resolution Corporation or something.
Dude,
you know,
something that sounds legitimate, but like Digital Vibes as a company in general that did government affairs. I mean, I'm the last person to speak. I have a registered company called Eat the Billionaires. But that's the last company I would physically use to be corrupt.
Yeah.
But Digital Vibes, no, it shocks me to this day. Absolutely.
So disrespectful. So you made this video and it just exploded. And did you wake up the next day to more notifications than you've ever seen? Or was it same day?
I went from my 500 followers that really were watching me mostly make meme mom content or share stories about my children. And then the next day I had like 50,000 people following me.
50,000 in a night.
50,000 in a night. I had so many comments. People were laughing. People were hating. People were defending. It was a wild world to wake up to, you know, from that was not the content. So my first thought was like, oh my God, what the beep is this? And then I was just like, is 50,000 people are here now? Do they expect me to not talk about this forever? And that kind of started the monster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later became, yeah.
So it's funny because so many people only know like public facing Zetu Khola, but you are of course the head of marketing for Africa for Platoon, which is essentially the record label of a small company that no one's ever heard of called Apple Music. And yet suddenly you were bona fide famous, like one of the first bona fide famous through TikTok South Africans. And you have become someone who people turn to because they trust you deeply. They're entertained by you. They believe in the way that you experience the world and the news. And I think, at least from my perspective, but I'd love to hear what you say about it, the way in which you react as a South African, a normal person to the news. Like if you are shocked or revolted or just so scandalized that you can only laugh or like deeply moved, we know.
Yeah.
And also your storytelling is fabulous.
Thank you. When all of this happened, honestly, that small company that I'm sure no one knows, I thought I was going to lose my job. Because when that video went viral, I had started working. I was 4 months into working at Apple. And it was obviously the biggest career opportunity I'd ever had in my life. And I was just like, oh my gosh, imagine working for the biggest company in the world and you're fired before you've even hit 6 months for opening your damn mouth. Oh my God. So much was going through my mind. But the storytelling bit, it comes naturally to me, to be honest, because I don't feel like I'm telling a story. I work from home. I've got so many friends.
That's
and it's very easy, Dan. You're one of the so few friends. So relax. it's so easy to, you see, I even lost my train of thought now.
When you're sitting in a room.
Yes, when you're by yourself, it's something else to talk this nonsense. And because we were just like post-lockdown, it was easy for me to continue doing that for another year and a half without realizing that people in the world knew who I was.
And you, and had opinions.
Yes, and they had opinions about me too, down to what I look like. They had more opinions when I shaved off my hair.
And when they were dragging your sweaters, that was not nice.
That was...
That's like, you're always like, I'm in my home.
I'm in my home.
My bedroom.
Yeah, let me wear the same hoodie 5 days in a row. We're going nowhere. You're not going anywhere either. Let me be. No, it's been crazy. And I've enjoyed being able to relay the things that interest me. They've had completely negative repercussions. I love being background girl. Oh, I used to thrive in the background. No one is looking for people doing nonsense in the background.
Right.
And the minute that this happened and I walked out of my house, maybe... when I first truly realized it was like halfway or earlier part of 2022.
Sure.
And I was doing, and it's nothing shady, but you know when you're just out with your friends.
You're being
quiet.
And
then someone said, oh my gosh, I've been looking at you the whole time you've been at this restaurant. It sent shockwaves through my body.
Yeah.
Because I'd been at this restaurant for 2 hours. What do you mean you've been looking at me for 2 hours? Mm. So it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. I'm more of an introvert. You would think someone's an extrovert. By the way, I'm going to break the fourth wall. I'm not an extrovert. It's only because I'm talking to my friend. And I've been forced to have almost this fake confidence that in the real world I don't have in terms of like being approachable. Like, I have confidence within myself. Like, ooh, I look good right now. I look so good right now. But not in a way where I want people looking at me and acknowledging that I look good. If
totally.
That makes sense.
Which is why you and I always talk about being creators without looking for influencer type celebrity for its own sake.
We're the last influencers, Dan.
Yeah,
because we were laughing about
we were
it
so
out
bad
there.
At this
because
event.
Some press guy is trying to take photos of us, bless his soul.
And we're just standing
and we're having
our coffee
and we're eating.
No smile.
No smile, nothing. We go in front of like this banner where he wanted us, and there we are with our coffee.
Hello.
But it's cool to not want to be an influencer, to be honest. Like, I'm so proud of my career and the years that I've put into it.
Yeah.
I appreciate all of my followers and the support that I have with them. But at the same time, I'm not trying to be your go-to fashion person. I'm not trying to be your go-to news source.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, right now, if you go on my TikTok, I'm busy like talking about what I'm wearing right now. And I think that's what helps people trust in what you say a little bit more, because you're not always selling them something or selling them something at all. Exactly. And then the realism.
The realism.
And also aligning yourself with brand partners that understand that realism. Like, there's a chicken company that I'm not going to mention that I worked with. They came up with the most brilliant campaigns, because if I mention them, they must pay the issue. We did an amazing collaboration where... And it's not that brand deals don't come my way. That was one of the first I ever took, because they understood how I make my content.
It has to make sense.
And all I had to do was make the exact same content while I ate the chicken company's chicken.
100%.
Yeah.
I will always eat the chicken company's chicken.
Oh, it's so good.
Because I love chicken.
Yeah. And, chicken also, company, you know who you are.
Lemon and herb is the right choice. Don't come for me. Now you know which chicken company we're talking about. So Zetu, we're talking about specifically, so TikTok has been life-changing to both of us. So maybe not whole of life-changing, but it's made a whole part of our lives that we didn't have before. And I think we have witnessed community building, and we both talk about the news and we talk about the real world. And so I think we both come with a degree of like treating ourselves like journalists, even though we're not, from like a, we need to be sure that we're right about this. And I think going into this election cycle, I think many political parties and agents of where the agendas have picked up on just how undeniable and popular TikTok is. How do you see South African TikTok right now? Is it a fun place? Are the users fun? Are the creators trustworthy? Mm. How do you feel about South African TikTok as an idea? Not the company itself, but the community going into this election, when honestly, an untruth could sway a voter.
To be honest, it also depends on your FYP. I'm also like chronically addicted to TikTok, like a lot of people. I can split that into like 3 points. One, you can be the source of disinformation or misinformation. One mistake I could have made will be the catalyst of many videos being made about that one thing that I said incorrectly, and people just run with it and they make their own videos because it's topical and they want to go viral. I never do anything to go viral.
Although I must just say, so specifically for Zetu, I'm now also breaking the fourth wall. Zetu tried to get people to sign up to register to vote and got something like 27,000 people to do so.
28,500. Don't disrespect those 1.5.
I'm so sorry. You shouldn't have replied so late to this survey. But it's like, if you have such sway or power in people's lives that you can convince them to register to vote and that's a small percentage of everybody, it must feel like a real weight of responsibility.
No, it gave me great relief, to be honest. If you look at how my content has progressed, and I mean, fundamentally, it's complaining. It's like professional complaining to 270,000 people. But always has been complaining with the goal of making you think, like, are you okay with this? Like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? But also at the same time, I knew elections were going to come in 3 years' time. Mm. I knew that the backlash I would get in comments of, why are you always highlighting negative things or this or that? I'm sorry, it's a negative place. At least we can all laugh about it and, you know, come together for it. But I knew that once we get closer to the elections, it would
snowball.
Validate.
You did this and I was like,
Snowball. Yes, this is me trying to reboot the brain. Like,
oh, I see. It's like in the PSL when you want someone to be substituted off the field.
Exactly.
Come on.
So I could now like substantiate the content I was making by starting to end off every video like a year in advance with click the link in my bio to register to vote.
For sure.
So that became a call to action versus complaining with no solution. I was like, first of all, I'm a regular citizen. You know, I'm not a political analyst. I don't even know where you could report a crime in your municipality, like outside of the police, you know, like where do you go to report your mayor?
I
couldn't tell you because chances are the mayor's being paid by someone else, so that being reported by the mayor starts and ends with you. But it felt as though the only solution to the overview of the things that I complain about is to actually register to vote to hopefully change that in the future.
I see. So sorry, because now it's my fault that we segued. Although the way that we as friends talk is all segues. But you were saying that there were three things that you were thinking about. So the first one is not spreading misinformation yourself.
Yeah. So there's that, which you could or could not be aware of. But for me personally, I'm not aware of that sometimes. An example I'll use of that is when I heard about the Tembisa 10. I was in absolute shock. I was in disbelief. I was just like, what do you mean? Now, I believe IOL because they had been a trusted news source for some time.
Sure.
They're the only ones that broke that story. No one could corroborate that story. And even if you don't believe in the media, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Totally.
I made a video about that after seeing that article, and it went so viral that without even being aware of it, I spread a big ass lie to millions of people. I was just like, there were 10 babies. Some of them were trafficked. Human trafficking is real.
There was a Nigerian doctor, but we can't find him.
Bruh. And then when things like that happen,
I'm sorry, do you remember the picture?
The picture?
With the pillows and the dress?
Honestly, I look back now and I was just like, you gullible bitch. Like, you couldn't look at this photo and think this isn't real.
But that is about media trust. Yeah, you're right.
It is. And then the second part of it, I would say, is the comments. I don't even remember the question. But the comments section make or break something.
Yeah.
So sometimes a Tembisa 10 story can be nipped in the bud by discussions in the comment section where people debunk those myths, provide sources, argue, or say things like, are you that stupid? And then the third part of it is being used out of context.
Sure.
Where I've told you in the past on a personal capacity before, but I've never said it on the issue with
I was about to mention it, and then I thought, does Etu want the country to know this?
So in the beginning, after the digital vibes thing went super viral, I ended up on every news outlet that you can imagine. Mm. Like, my parents didn't even know I had TikTok until I was on the news, like on TV, live, prime time, 7 p.m. while they're eating their dinner. And then after that, it's almost like so many eyes started coming on me more and more and more. And this is before like your News 24s and Daily Mavericks created their own pages, which I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
And also you also coming on board to like be this source of credible information. So much of my content was being used all over the news that I started to deliberately swear a lot in my content in order for the, if I'm saying the F word three times in one sentence, that's not going to end up on the news because you can't,
or on a political party's, website,
because when someone starts running their mouth with vulgar language, A, it also displays like lower signs of intelligence. B,
I think it's
a public perception. Oh, it's a public perception that, oh my gosh, if she can't articulate herself in a way where she doesn't need to swear, like maybe she shouldn't be speaking. And then there's also the, no one wants to put a video up that they're beeping so much that it's inaudible. So I found a way to crop myself out of the media and almost protect myself, because I get anxious every time a video gets more than 6,000 views. And I stress and I freak out. And the thought of it having gone so far, I was like, I need to stop this.
On social media platforms or creative platforms like TikTok that we need to be aware of as a community of people that creates a culture, because, you know, cultures of best practice and good or bad behavior happen in comment sections all the time.
I think it's the fabrication of political party manifestos and people not really understanding what each political party stands for. Everyone's a villain. But there's got to be a villain that wins in the end. So sometimes I don't enjoy to see something, let's say, about, as much as I may not be the biggest fans of those politicians or leading those parties, I see something that is like misinformation about them, but I can't correct it. Sure. Because if I correct a video that's spreading, you know, dis or misinformation about a politician, my followers will immediately be like, yeah, we knew it, EFF supporter, you know, I could see the action SA in you.
Oh, I see. So, okay.
Yeah, so there's that. And then I think more than that, which is shamefully sparked by the DA asking America to stick their hands where they don't belong. I think people are going to start to question the credibility of the IEC, which I think is going to be the worst if that happens. Because as it was mentioned in the talk that we all had, the panel discussion we had earlier, it is so easy to go from people saying mistruths about the IEC to people not believing in the voting system at all.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that corruption on a small scale doesn't exist. Like, corruption is on the fiber of every human being. You've heard cases about how in rural areas or in certain parts of the country, you get taunted if people find out that you didn't vote this or you didn't vote that. Yeah. But you only know that as rumors and not to be true. So you have information like that, which also perpetuates conversations around like, oh, there's, I didn't even know the professional term, people are sneaking ballots in there. People are voting in the background and switching the bags before they travel in the truck.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most dangerous kind. And and it's something that, you know, people are actively trying to do. It's actually so affordable to pay a Twitter army to spread misinformation.
I
actually learned the other day that for 3,500 rand, I can get people to tweet about something for 1 hour viciously until I'm on the timeline.
Really?
Yeah.
Hectic. That's highly manipulable. And you would hope that, I mean, different platforms have been track records. Mm. So, I mean, I remember around the Super Bowl, there was a measure for all of the, advertisers who spent with different social media platforms on the Super Bowl. There was then a measure of how much of the interactivity they got was bots, i.e. nonsense on the platform, making it look like the ad was good versus not. TikTok was like under 3% of the interactions was bots, which is great. Twitter, 96% of the interactions was bots.
Yeah, because it's a faceless, nameless account.
Site, and you can just kind of infer whatever you like. Zetu, Ola, thank you so much. I have one more question for you. When people say to you, oh my God, you have to post because you are my new service, and if you don't talk about it, I don't know about it. How do you feel and what do you say?
I'm disappointed in the human race. there's a part of me that truly does feel flattered, but I'm just like, I could die today. Right. And you mean to tell me you're gonna go back to not reading the news at all?
Or just feel like not reading the news or being busy.
Exactly. You know? And it goes back to the whole misinformation thing, you know. Sometimes, because all of my content is opinion based, you might mishear something that I didn't say dishonestly. And I think it's always important. I always encourage people, like, go read up on this, go look up on it. I try to put credible sources behind me, hoping that if someone sees that the article is from, like, Daily Maverick or the Sunday Times, they'll be compelled to then go to that website and read more. It's flattering, but for the love of God.
Go read the news.
Read
guys.
A book. Read something. Something. And my final question for you, Zetu Khola, is...
Can I put on the beanies?
Yes, please do. Actually, that wasn't the question, but this will be... This is going to go viral. My final... They look
Am
great.
I rocking them?
They look way better than that than when I wear them. No, I think they're very good. My final question for you is, who are you voting for? No, I'm joking. I wanted a really viral headline.
Can I just say, though, as much as I would never answer that question,
yeah.
If people knew who I was voting for, oh my gosh, people would throw up shit in their pants. There would be riots in the streets. But yeah, it's one of those things you will never know. Like, you will never know. Because the moment I ever reveal who I'm aligned with, there is a giant population that will always look at my content as coming from this woman that supports this political party. So yeah. Everything about me will now be under that lens.
No, you're right.
And for as long as the people who wouldn't read the news without me are still around, I think it's important.
Yeah. Well, you're famous for a reason. Thank you so much for all of the videos that you've made. They're fabulous. Zetu Khola on The Issue with Dan Korda and Scene.